At this afternoon session at the International Prophetic Summit, I'm going to preach a message called Why God is Shaking Churches and Ministries Before the Rapture or Before His Return. The main text I'm going to read is found in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25 through 29. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. Remember, John Kilpatrick talked about that, right? The land and man, the shaking in his teaching. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal. Now this is real important. The removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things that cannot be shaken will remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be, don't you love that? We received a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, there are basically four prophetic events that either will happen at about the same time or happening at the same time that are all four signs of what we call the end of the age. Sometimes in the King James translation in Matthew, it will say the end of the world. But if you look at the Greek word, there's three different Greek words that can be used for world. One is the planet. One is the inhabitant, the people that inhabit the planet. But one can also mean the age, at the end of the age of man's government ending, the age of the Messiah's government physically, literally beginning on earth. Here's the four events. Matthew 24:14, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached around the world globally, and then the end will come. The second event is Joel 2:28-29, where God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and all flesh also indicates that it's global. It's every nation of the world. That is part of what is about to happen, and is happening actually. Second Thessalonians 2:1-3. I'll read this in a moment. There comes what is called a falling away first, and then the man of sin is revealed. Matthew 24:12-23. As we talked about in one of our previous messages, there is this season of betrayal and offense that becomes so great around the earth that it affects people spiritually. So here we've got it. The gospel being preached, the Holy Spirit being poured out, the great falling away, or what we call the falling away, the Bible mentions it, and also the enduring of offenses in the last days. Now, I want to focus on something for a moment, because Paul said that there's a shaking coming to shake loose the things that shouldn't be on us, so that which cannot be shaken will remain standing at the very end. There's a shaking coming. But then I want to ask the question, what about the shaking? What is the shaking all about? Now, this verse is one of my, a verse that I love to study. I love to study 2 Thessalonians 2 in detail, but I'll give you some of it. Now, it says this, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming, now notice this, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. That gathering together unto him is John 14, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We would use the theological term that you can understand, that's the rapture. But there is the coming of the Lord, where the world sees him visibly, and then there's also a gathering together. And here's what he says, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit or by word or a letter from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So we have the appearing of the Lord where they see him, but we also have the gathering together unto him. That's why there is a rapture, and then there is a second coming. And we don't have time to show you the difference between the two, but there is a vast difference between those two events. So as this time approaches, there comes what is called a falling away first. In Greek, it's huapostasia. Now, that word apostasia is where we get the English word apostasy. The primary meaning, there can be different meanings other than the meaning I'm telling you, but the primary meaning of apostasia is for someone to revolt against something, or for there to be a defection from absolute truth. In other words, a turning away from truth, in turning those truth into fables, truth into lies, truth into deceiving people because you are not listening to the truth or teaching or preaching the truth. So it says here that there will be, and I'm going to say it this way, a final departure from truth. Watch this now. So severe that in Luke 18 and verse 8, Jesus makes this statement. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So here's what I want to tell you. And this is my observation about the times that we're in. This is my observation based on social media and what people are saying. This is my observation on visiting churches and hearing people say, well, I don't go to church because of. This is what I'm going to say. People may not always lose faith in God because there are people who do not go to church, but you ask them, do you believe God exists? And they'll say, absolutely, God exists. You have people that will never attend church in this town because maybe they were wounded or hurt years ago, somewhere in their past. But if you were to ask them, do you believe in Jesus? Absolutely. And they'll tell you something like, well, my church is at home, or my church is a small group we have. They'll say something like that. But I want to make this statement. People are not necessarily losing faith in God. They're losing faith in Christians, in churches, in Christianity, and in ministries. In other words, God is not the problem. Jesus is not the problem. It's a people problem. Because think about what I'm saying. Most people who were ever offended in a church were never offended by God. Nor were they offended by the Holy Spirit. Nor were they offended by Jesus. But they were offended by somebody in the church acting a certain way toward them, harming them, hurting them, gossiping about them, maybe even telling stories that should never have been told, whatever the case may be. So now they're disappointed in people who represent Jesus. Aren't you glad the other 11 disciples did not backslide when Judas committed suicide? Can you see the news report? Breaking news, the treasurer of Christ's ministry has hung himself, destroying the ministry of Jesus. The ministry of Jesus is destroyed. It's now exposed because the head man was stealing money. Can you see the YouTube video on that one? Yet, the other 11, some of them struggled, but they all came back, and on the day of Pentecost, after they received the Holy Spirit, they became great, great followers of Jesus. Now, there is something called the spirit of the age. And the spirit of the age is a spirit that affects things globally. I think it's connected to the different levels of principalities that are in the earth. I'm going to tell you what I have observed. I have never seen this before like I've seen it probably the past 18 months to 2 years as a general rule. I didn't see this growing up much. When I grew up in the full gospel church, most people were godly people, praying people. They had a fear of the Lord. So there's just some things they would leave alone. However, today people believe lies. They don't vet their truth. They don't vet the information. They don't even research it out for the fact. They immediately believe anything that comes out. And you can look at President Trump's life and see that. You know, Russian collusion. And, you know, then the facts come out and it wasn't what people said. Number two, people don't love the truth. Now, if you don't believe me, preach on hell sometime. Preach on that demons exist sometime. And you'll find people say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I don't believe that. Well, I don't believe God would do that. So there is this real not love of the truth, but teachers with itching ears. Then number three, people begin to yield to lawlessness. Now, in Matthew chapter 24, we're going to kind of lay some scriptures out here first. Matthew 24, 23 through 24, here's what it says. Jesus says, if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, don't believe it. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. What is a false Christ? There are presently, right now, on the earth, seven men who claim to be Jesus Christ. And these seven men, some of them are in Latin America, some of them are in Europe, but these seven men have followings sometimes of thousands of people. And one man, previous man, had literally tens of thousands. He looks like Jesus. I mean, you know, the pictures we see. And so he started dressed in white and wearing sandals and sitting on a throne, and people started saying it was Jesus. That's deception. There's also false prophets. And I love Brother Mario's teaching. I love John Kilpatrick tying this together, that a false prophet is someone who speaks in God's name out of their own spirit. Jeremiah said God didn't send them. God didn't show them anything, but they're speaking out of their own spirit. Now remember, Jezebel and Ahab had 400 false prophets sitting at their table because there was a famine in the land. And because of the willingness of these false prophets to follow Ahab and Jezebel, they were willing to provide food for them in a time of famine. And that's when the Jewish king came and said, give me a word from God. Are we going to win the battle? And 400 prophets said, yay, go, you shall win. Yay, go, you shall win. And Jehoshaphat finally figured out that they were on the payroll of the king. And when you're on the payroll of the king, you want to prophesy smooth things and good things. So they go get the real prophet of God out of the dungeon. You know the story. And they said, you agree with everything else that it's going to be good. And he stands up there and said, yeah, thus saith the Lord, it's going to be good. And Ahab said, oh, be quiet. I can tell you're not inspired. Tell me what you want. Tell me what God told you. 400 men have just told the king go to war, and one prophet tells him you're going to die if you go to battle. So you need to know you're going to be a dead man. God's got you targeted for death. So sometimes real people who love God go against the grain. Talk to me, somebody. Sometimes those who really carry a word are not going to be popular in the word they say. Can I tell you something? Everybody that wants to be a prophet, you better understand something. No prophet in the Old Testament was ever appreciated. Elijah was not appreciated by Ahab and Jezebel. Oh, you don't want me to keep going. Why do you think they were sawn asunder? Why do you think they were stoned? Why do you think they were beaten? Because they didn't like the negative prophecies that real prophets were given that were warning them that trouble was coming. So in Matthew 24, the reason I brought this out about Matthew 24 and talking about false Christs and false prophets is Matthew 24 talks about earthquakes once, famines once, pestilence once, and it even mentions wars and rumors of wars once, but guess what it mentions four times in Matthew 24? Deception. Be not deceived. Even the elect would be deceived. So what does deception mean? What does the word deceive mean? It means, in the original language, to roam away from. In other words, to slowly begin to step away from truth, slowly step away from the presence of God, slowly step away from the word teaches, and then begin to listen to this mingling of doctrine, this mingling of information that eventually corrupts the seed of the word of God, and then we have a problem on our hands. Now, in line with God correcting the church, which I believe he has started to do that, and I'll give you the reason here in a moment. I want you to understand that there are dangers that even people who associate themselves in the kingdom, become a part of the kingdom of God, that even follow Christ, even go to church, there are dangers that you are warned about in the New Testament. It's all throughout the different books of writings of Paul, for example. Now, stay with me, because I grew up in a Full Gospel Church. When I grew up, there was a lot of preaching on outward adornment. Anybody remember those days? Raise your hand if you grew up that way. And the poor women, bless their heart, the men never got preached on. Am I telling the truth, Ruby? Right there's one of my spiritual mothers, another mission since I was 18. She grew up the way I did, and she'll tell you it was you women with your hair and you women with your makeup. You better get it off. And you women with your jewelry, your Jezebel. And I mean, was it not that? That's the teaching we heard growing up, right? Hello. And so they missed something. And the part they missed was really the most important part. You want to go there for a minute? Yeah. Here it is. There are sins of the flesh. Ready for this? And there are sins of the Spirit. Not the Holy Spirit, your spirit. Sins of the flesh are the sins that you can see. In other words, the adultery, the fornication, the anger, the wrath. You know, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You can see those. The sins of the Spirit you cannot see. Envy. Reviling. Hate. Bitterness. Strife, unforgiveness, gossip, backbiting. Fleshly lust, this is in your Bible, war against the soul. Sins of the Spirit, war against your spirit. Some fleshly sins are visible. When a person is drunk, you can see them get drunk. When a person is under a bondage, you can see the bondage they're under. When a person is angry and violent, you can see that. But you have people sitting in churches who smile and somebody walks down the aisle and says, "What's she doing here? How come they didn't let me sing the special? I sing better than her. I didn't get the pastor I wanted." Preach. I'm going to preach anyhow because I'm right on your feet right now. Please listen to me. Sins of the spirit are just as negative and bad as sins of the flesh. One level affects the soul. Fleshly lust war against the soul, but the unforgiveness, bitterness, hate, and strife war against your spirit. How many of you know you're a body, soul, and spirit? You're actually a soul that has a body with an eternal spirit. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. You still here? Say yes. So here's what 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, Galatians 5, 19 through 21 gives you a list of those sins, the sins of the what we call the sins of the flesh. But listen to this verse. "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves." Hello. Somebody say ourselves. "From all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord." So a lot of times you're saying, "Oh, God, help me get over this." And God is saying, "Help yourself." "Oh, God, give me victory." Well, he'll give you victory if you lay aside the sin and the weight that does so easily beset you. There are some things only God can deliver you from, and there are other things you can cleanse your spirit. Let us cleanse ourselves from filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Let us lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. So sometimes you are asking God to deliver you from the bondage while you're in the bondage, still doing the bondage. And God is trying to say, if you'll break up with those people, if you get away from that bunch, you're not going to have the problems you have right now. Sometimes it takes the power of God only, and only the power of God can do it. And other times God has given you the power. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to what? The power that works within us. So remember this, there's sins of the flesh, but there are also sins of the spirit. Now, the problem we have in the body of Christ is that everybody can see the sins of the flesh, and a lot of people aren't committing the sins of the flesh. If you go to get that whole list, most people who are spirit-filled are not walking in that. It's the unseen stuff, or help me, Holy Spirit, please. It's the unseen stuff that is affecting us. Look, it's not what you're eating, it's what's eating you. That's what's killing you. That's what's affecting you. Now, in the midst of this, 2 Corinthians 7:1, of cleansing ourselves from the works of the flesh and spirit, I want to also mention this to you. This is very important, that when you go to the parables of Jesus, you see something that I have always felt was very, very strange. And that is that, it's not really strange, but it is strange, that you have parables where he is addressing, in the parable, people that know nothing about the kingdom. Luke 16 is not a parable. It's a rich man who dies and goes to hell, and it's a beggar who dies and goes to paradise. It's a true story, and the rich man would not feed the poor man. He would not give him anything, and now the rich man is tormented, and the beggar is comforted in Abraham's bosom, which did exist in the Old Testament, but now that we go to the third heaven when we pass away as believers. But I got to reading one time about, let's say, a parable of three servants. The master gives one X number of talents, and the talent there is not an ability to sing or preach or play a piano. It is, because it came from a King James translation, a talent was a British measure of sterling, of silver. So they're given silver, and he goes out and develops the ability of taking what the master gave him and doubling it. The second servant is given a lesser amount to start off with, but he too is able to obey and invest and do the right thing, and he now doubles his. The third servant takes one talent and becomes afraid and says, "Boy, hard times are coming. You know, I'm not going to give anymore. I've got to cut off all my giving, got to cut off my tithing, because you never know what's going to happen. I'm telling you the truth. Now listen to me." And he takes it and hides it in the earth. They didn't have banks back then. So he goes and buries his money, does nothing with it, hoping that during the rainy times and the bad times, he would have something. The Lord returns when they least expect it. The man who doubled his is rewarded. In fact, he gets 10 cities. The guy that doubled his gets 5 cities. He then looks at the unprofitable servant. Everybody say unprofitable servant. He looks at the unprofitable servant. He said, what did you do with what I gave you? He said, Lord, I hid it because I didn't know what was about to happen. Then it says this, because I'm going to go somewhere in just a minute. I've never taught this publicly. I'm going to throw something out there for you to think about. He says, cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. He did not say cast him into hell. There are other verses that talk about people being cast into hell and hellfire. Now, Bill, think about this for a minute. When Jesus is talking about people in general, the Pharisees, you're in danger of hellfire. The religious people that are hypocrites, you're in danger of hellfire. But when he talks about someone who calls themselves a servant who did not do what he said, he talks about outer darkness. I've always wondered this, and let me stop up front and say this, lest we be misunderstood or misquoted, because that does happen occasionally, that I'm still working on this and was not going to present this to anybody today. Then I thought, I know my people. I know the people who watch Manifest. I know the people who order our material. And I think they understand how to take something and weigh it. So here's what I'm about to do. I'm about to show you something on the scriptures where Jesus talks about a servant being cast into outer darkness. And yet those who are unbelievers and the adulterers and fornicators who have committed certain sins being cast into hell. Is there a difference? Are you ready to go? Put your hands together. Ready to go. Because we're about to get into the message.
God has reserved the revelation of many prophetic mysteries for the time of the end, a time when knowledge shall increase. Daniel declared, "None of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." This powerful truth is what inspires us to host an annual prophetic summit, bringing together America's leading speakers and revelators, all gifted in discerning and interpreting end time events. The 2025 summit featured 14 powerful services with 7 prophetic leaders that Perry Stone is now making available to you in this special Manifest TV offer. When you order, you'll experience these 5 insightful messages from Perry. Is Trump a reformer leading a great American reset? Feasting on the wrong blood, Christians that are fellowshipping with demons. Why is God shaking churches and ministries before the rapture? The vision, chastisement because of defiant Christians, the nomophobia strike. How angelic demonic wars in heaven are affecting weather on earth. Joseph Z illustrated his unique insights on the whiteboard with a revelation on the spirit of Elijah, the future of America. Bill Cloud brought Hebraic insight to the summit with these 2 messages. He is about to turn the tables over. He trains my hands for war. Mark Biltz used PowerPoint illustrations and charts to reveal Hebrew nuggets in his 2 teachings. Genesis mysteries from the Hebrew language. Birth pangs of the final redemption. John Kilpatrick posed the question, "The earth is speaking. Are you listening?" Plus, Jonathan Kahn expounds with a powerful message tracing the dragon's attack on Israel. And Mario Murillo hits hard with his message, "Away with the sissy false prophets." All 14 messages are now available on DVD for $95 and audio CD or USB drive for $65. This offer is also available for purchase as a digital audio download and video on demand when you visit perrystone.org. DVDs and video on demand include all PowerPoints, whiteboards, scriptures, and illustrations shown by the speakers. You'll receive over 14 hours of prophetic teaching, an investment in knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Your purchase helps Perry Stone Ministries continue a global outreach. To order, visit perrystone.org or call toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323 or write to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. Include your check and the appropriate offer number. For DVDs, use offer number 25PS-DVD. For CDs, use offer number 25PS-CD. And for USB drive, use offer number 25PS-USB. If you love biblical prophecy, this could be your greatest spiritual investment in 2025. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
You hear people always saying, this is shaking, that is shaking, this ministry has done this and that. They never tell you, in my opinion, why God is allowing this to happen. It's in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament, and when you watch an excerpt, you're only getting 22 minutes. This message is about 70 minutes in length, or maybe a little longer. And so that's why I'm encouraging you to go beyond just the foundational teaching and get all the teaching, get all the speakers. You're talking about 14 hours or longer of teaching in these albums or on the flash drives. Please take the opportunity to do it, because I want to make you aware of something. Your purchases are help keeping Manifest on the air. So you're getting a product, but we're going to get the income we need, the Lord willing, to stay on the air. So please go to the telephone now, order the 800 number, go to perrystone.org and get this, because there's never been a time. Wars breaking out, wars and rumors of wars, all these things are taking place. And it's going to get more intense, according to Scripture, as we enter the third trimester birth pains prior to the return of Christ. So anyway, we hope you do that. Very quickly, I'm coming to Covenant Life Church, Pastor Tony McAfee in Clinton, Tennessee, August 1, 2, and 3. That's a Friday through Sunday. Christ Temple, August 8th through the 10th, Friday through Sunday. Huntington, West Virginia, Family Faith Church, Willis Campus. We always start at Willis, Texas, Friday night, August 15th. Two services on Saturday the 17th, and we move up to the Huntsville campus for two services on Sunday in August the 17th. And finally, for the month of August, Springdale, Arkansas. Now, some of these areas we've not been to, you need to come and be a part. Mercy and Grace Cathedral, that would be August the 23rd and 24th. So please go to perrystone.org, get the itinerary. We have an online store. You can purchase downloads and get those outside the United States. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you is our prayer.
Help amplify Perry's message and ministry by joining the Partner Strike Force today. As Perry's partner, you'll be supporting multiple outreach programs from Perry Stone Ministries. You'll also receive special access to premium events and materials, such as our Partner Strike Force website, live streamed prophetic updates, and more. Go to perrystone.org and sign up today.